Welcome to CCA's New Year Podcast 2024, a special episode where we delve into faith, reflection, and insight. Joining us is Tom Weil, Clinical Supervisor of CCA, as we explore the top 10 most impactful stories of 2023 through a Christian lens. Tune in for a journey of faith, learning, and community. Welcome, everybody, to the Ask Christian Counseling Associates podcast and our New Year's edition. Welcome back, Tom Weil, Clinical Supervisor of Christian Counseling Associates. Hi, Tom.
Hi. How are you doing? Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. How was your Christmas and New Year's?
How'd that end up? It was good. I'll tell the story. So my daughter's birthday is 7 days before Christmas, which is terrible to have a birthday and compete with Jesus.
Yeah.
You lose. Like, you know, we move her birthday party around and stuff like that.
Doesn't get together well.
No. But there's a tradition in my family that when the children are old enough to help out my dad on the family farm, they get their own cows. And they work off the rent. They have to buy the cow and they work off the rent. So we went to one of the local cow auctions and she was very nice about it. She told me that the boys got it when they were seven, and I had until 9:20 that night until she turned eight. No pressure at all. So I come and I get this wonderful, it's called a belted Galloway. Sometimes they're called Oreo cows. They're usually black on each side with a white stripe down the middle. And we got it on the trailer. This one, like I said, was red and white. And before we left, I looked at my daughter and said, "Hey, you want a birthday picture with your cow?" And she looked at me and says, "Yes, absolutely." And so we go back, and I've got one of my younger kids with me too. Emmett's five. And I put them on the trailer, and I looked at him and said, like, "Well, this cow's a little spooked. Like, don't do anything." Yeah. I hop on the trailer. It's like this cow lost its mind. It saw a little daylight behind me, and it was going to get it. Cow decides it's going to charge me. We go spilling out into the parking lot. I manage to scissor lock the cow, and it's thrashing around. I'm like hanging onto the back of the trailer. Like,
so you scissor lock with your legs?
With my legs around this cow's head. The cow's body's in front of me. And so I'm sitting there hanging on going, I'm beat.
So you're sort of riding the cow in a real
strange
way.
It's like the
way.
Most dysfunctional rodeo that you could like imagine.
For those of you listening to the podcast who do not know Tom, is a licensed counselor, a clinical supervisor for Christian Counseling Associates. He's one of our senior staff members. Mm-hmm. And you've been with us for, what, 10 or 12 years?
Something like that, yeah.
And
getting close to 13, I think.
Okay, so more than 12 years. Yeah. And you're also a farmer.
Yes.
So I'd like to say that you're the hardest working person at CCA. If you know how hard farmers work, but yes. This is how not to farm.
Yeah.
So you've scissor locked
a cow
with your legs.
With my legs. Trying to get
it
back.
Who's trying to
car.
Charge you.
Yes. Meanwhile, with my children watching, thinking that dad is the best dad in the whole wide world.
Family is looking on.
Yes. This is
dad is the hero.
No, dad is not the hero of this. You know, and eventually I don't know if I gave up or the cow got away. It's depending on how you want to remember the story. But so now the cow's running around the parking lot. You know, all these Amish men come over trying to help me. It is like, I mean, seriously, if I'd had this on tape, we could donate like $10,000 from the video winnings of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
But we still don't have the cow back yet as of the date of this taping.
What happened to the cow?
We know where it is. It just disappeared. Like, we were running around and like I ducked behind these like cars to like try to encourage it to come back towards us, and I pop up, the Amish bit in this cow are like they vanished into thin air. And so like I'm trying to look around to find this cow and I can't find it, and my kids, I get them out of the truck, we're like looking around, it's like this thing completely vanished. It was like 2 days until this Amish man like finds it at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's like running through his yard and he can't get
it. It's been spotted.
So
for those of you who live near the city, I grew up in Allegheny County. You can lose a cow when there's a lot of farm area around, and it can melt into other like farm areas with other cows.
So the status of January 3rd.
Did you have to pay for the cow?
Yes. So the cow is paid for. It is my cow. It is my responsibility, all this type of stuff. But the last that we've heard, it is in with another Amishman's herd. And he's waiting to get it in his barn so we can go back up and load it back up.
Okay, so this happened last Christmas?
Yeah, like it happened on December 18th because it's my daughter's birthday.
Okay, so a year ago last Christmas, and then you know you were injured in this.
Yeah. So this
exchange.
Yes. Yeah. So like I really like there's nothing like it's every old injury that came back up, and so there's enough adrenaline. Like I don't feel anything. Like I'm like my goal is to get this is to not be the worst dad in the world and get my daughter's cow back because that's what you feel like after you know your daughter's crying watching her cow run off into the woods and never to be seen of again. But yeah, it's a longer drive home, probably 45, 50 minutes. And I got out of the truck and realized I am 40, not 41 and not 20 playing college football. It's not, it was not a.
Yeah. So that's the Christmas story from last year.
That's the 23 Christmas story. And you know, cause that's the story everybody tells when you like, so we go over to my wife's family too. And, you know, like, I don't want to be like, don't talk about it because, you know, like, I don't want to be like the family secret nobody can say. But my youngest, we get there. He comes, sits down between my father-in-law's two brothers, looks up at them and goes, we lost a cow. And I'm like, well, no sense hiding that story now. Let's share the story about how dad is like an incompetent farmer and has no idea what he's doing.
So what a Christmas time story. And I'll ask you the quintessential question that no counselor should ever ask.
Tom, how did that make you feel?
Tom, how do you feel about that?
you know, okay. So let's redeem this. So, like originally, like I'm driving home and you're like, God, why did this happen? Why couldn't I've just, you know, and when you go through something like this, of course you've got 10 different ways of protocol that you skipped. And you realize this would happen because really, I mean, the heart was before the head. Like that's why the cow got out. There's other ways that I could have done it and prevented that. But
so when I get all excited about it, wanting to make good presentation.
Yeah, you know, like I want to be the best dad in the world.
And you know, backfired like, on you.
Yes. It's funny, you know, the Amishman comes up to me like when like the cow's out and he goes, what happened? He goes, didn't you have your gate shut? And I'm like, I can't say I wanted to have my daughter take a selfie with the cow. Like this is not appropriate to say in that situation. You're just an idiot.
That's what you were after the selfie.
I was after. Well, I didn't call it a selfie because I was going to take the picture. But
that would have been cooler though if you were up.
Yeah, you know, like this is all going down. I had my cell phone in my hand. You know, I'm like if it would accidentally like taken a picture or like if it would have gotten video. I'm telling you, like.
See, not being a farmer, I would assume that you could do something like that, but no.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all depends on the temperament of the cow, and that, you know, it's just it's a day where they're in transition. They don't know where home is, any of that type of stuff. So they're like, this one wanted to go home and didn't know where home was. I don't know where home was for it, you know, before that. That's so just the way the auctions work.
A year later, you're injured. It aggravates.
Yes.
All these football.
A year
injuries.
Later, it's only been a couple of weeks. Like,
we gotta this.
Yeah, this is the 23 Christmas story.
Oh, I totally misunderstood that.
Yeah, so this happens.
I feel like I'm not a good counselor now.
It's confusing because we changed the years. It's okay. Yeah, so this happened.
So this is just recent that you had this.
Yeah, so this is 2.5 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was the injury that you sustained.
No, well, so I mean, any injury I would blame on not taking care of myself and not healing up from old football injuries and stuff like that. But like when I got out of the truck, it was like, I mean, I was sore, but like, I never really like slowed down in order the adrenaline come up, but let me get the redeeming quality of this. Cause I can like bring this back in. You know, like I'm you're driving home, guilt, shame, blame, like it's all there. And then like, and it really it was like a day later and I realized we have this rule at my house. Because especially when things go poorly on the farm, because like things break, and there's a large amount of weight a lot of times that happens. And I've always had this rule. So December 8th, 2010, my brother passed away in a farming accident. And when things got bad, it's, well, any day that anybody makes it back to the house is a good day. And as much as I didn't want to admit it, and it took me time, you know, that day where we lose the cow is a good day because everybody made it back. And there's the ability to find gratitude in the midst of suffering. And, you know, I'm driving back and, you know, I ruined everybody else's day because my wife's aunt came up, all the other kids come up, my dad comes up, and I'm going, I ruined everybody's day.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that doesn't help. But, like, I'm talking to my dad on the way home, and, you know, like, we're talking even about that day, about, you know, like, what terrible thing it would be, you know, to lose a family member. And, like, how do we look at that day and how do we find gratitude? And even though we're saying, you know, like, his passing was quick. Not everybody's passing is quick in accidents like that. And even those situations where I'm like, thank God that cow turned on me, you know, and, you know, I don't want that to turn on one of my kids. And what separates that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I know about you, Tom, is that your brother passing away, of course, mm-hmm. you know, was tragic and will be something you remember forever. Mm-hmm. And so it comes up like in every kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not readily apparent, you know, for me, I think, or anybody else who would be talking with you about something like that, you know, but you very quickly, you know, get to this place where, you know, you've lost your brother and it's tragic, you know, and I think of, you know, I asked how you felt about that accident
mm-hmm.
and this is all mixed in with
yeah.
that. It's complex. And those are the kind of things that we deal with here so much. And so in the New Year's podcast,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a time, you know, we've done all this celebration mm-hmm. and, you know, I can't speak for everybody out there, but I would have you reflect on how you feel at this point about heading into the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And, our podcast, I think the viewers are probably won't be able to understand this, but we're starting a half hour late. you know, like mm-hmm. around here, the crisis du jour of, you know, there's been 15 million things that have happened since January 1st mm-hmm. here at CCA mm-hmm. and in my life personally. And, you know, we're chasing after it already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about all of the things around Christmas and New Year's and really all of that's gone now. Mm-hmm. So we often talk about what we observe around here. I don't know if you agree, but people ask us, oh, you know, around Christmas time, it must be, you know, this terrible time for clients. And really, you know, we encourage people to come in during Christmas time
mm-hmm.
and to be consistently, you know, working through whatever they face. But it's the time after New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about 2 weeks after New Year's is our busiest time. That's when things start to really get busy because mm-hmm. All of this starts to set in. You know, all of the celebrations are gone
mm-hmm.
and we're in the aftermath of that now.
Yeah.
So we're just always aware of that. And you know, and for me, like it's been a past couple of crazy days,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because everything was so calm and nice and now it's back mm-hmm. to, you know, I can't help but feel unsettled, you know, about these, you know, a couple of days now, like you're saying, there's something to be redeemed in that. If I keep on looking at it, mm-hmm. something's going to kick in, that is going to, you know, I'm going to get my second wind and I'm going to be like, okay, I'm ready for 2024.
Yeah.
But maybe for a lot of people listening, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to go way past the second week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people find themselves in February. It's really struggling.
Yeah.
You know, and so I always think about that this time of year. It's been something after a long time that I've gotten used to seeing and how people emotionally, you know, face this time because it is... You know, this is my theory. New Year's is very symbolic of salvation. It's mm-hmm. a new start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a new year. And, you know, we're in week one of it, and we would love to just be like, man, I'm just day three. I got it perfect. You know, I'm here, and,
yeah.
you know, here you are, you know, injured. Thinking about things, you know, that are mixed in with that. Of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd have to be honest, I'm far from perfect on day three.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, hey, don't worry about me. I'm okay. I can feel that, but you know, for some people who went into this really struggling, day three of the New Year's can be unbelievably overwhelming.
Yeah. And then we, you know, throw in those wonderful New Year's Day resolutions that, what, like 95% of them have all got to be like failed by now. And you've got that feeling of failure and guilt and all of that. You know, it's good for business. You know, I'm not worried about paying my mortgage because that there will be clients to come in. But at the same time, you know, we want to help people and get them back on their feet and get them out so that they can find a life where they can do more than just, you know, reduce symptoms and say it's not that bad, but really where they can find a way to flourish and thrive in life.
Absolutely. You know, so that's the real serious part of this podcast. Now, we're going to try to keep it light today because it is the New Year's. And so, you know, we want to take a look at 2023 and review. And from the perspective of clinical supervisor, clinical director of CCA, just openly give our thoughts about what's happening.
Yeah.
Do you want to give it a try?
Yeah. So, you know, if you start with 2023, so how do you do that? I think that's the first question. Because there's two reasons why you would do something like that.
Yeah.
One is to be gracious, to be thankful, to be positive and really to live with an uplifting spirit. And that way, you know, you're pulling out the good things, you know, and what did we do? And, you know, I think there's no more beneficial thing for anybody at CCA to say, like, we made a positive impact in people's lives. And in that, you know, you think about that great ability when you see somebody through a terrible thing and, you know, they're done and like they've engaged in some life-changing journey. And if you weren't there to guide them, it wouldn't have happened that way. And so like, that's the thing that we can look back on every year and say, how many lives do we have in this positive impact? You know, and the clients who will just text me out of nowhere and tell me like, we're doing great. We've done all of these things. Marriages are the ones that are like really, really great. You know, like the people come back and they're like, we have a kid. And like, I didn't know if we were going to make it after, you know, the fighting or the affair or whatever. And yeah, you know, like, and I think that's important too, because people who are struggling, they don't want to hear seven simple steps to fix your life. It's all on you.
There's a lot of that in the new year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it's just like, oh, just follow the recipe. You don't follow the recipe. You go through a process and a journey. And I think that's why we get defeated. And that's why I think, you know, from the Christian counseling standpoint, one of the things that I love to do is to talk about the word repentance, because I think for most people in society and even within the church, you hear the word repent, you think of like this pastor, you're like, repent, you terrible, sinful, shameful, like, and it's all about like this negative connotation. And when really the word repentance is about grace. And if you think about how do we look back on 2023 from a different perspective, maybe not just to be like this happy, uplifting, sunshiny person, but like, oh no, there's things that we might not have done that worked the best and we missed the mark. And we, and when you look at that, people don't want to, I don't want to talk about how I missed the mark in 23.
Yeah.
Well, if I don't talk about how I missed the mark, how am I going to make 24 any better? If I can own the parts of 23 that didn't go well, then I can make 24 better and therefore I have hope.
Yeah.
And what you see that I don't think culture is any good at. Yeah, we tried something. It wasn't the best, but we're going to do better. Like, you don't see that in political debates. You don't see that in all the fighting for COVID. You know, like, I'm waiting for the snarky Facebook post that says, I changed my thinking on this. Hey, 3 years ago, sorry guys. I was wrong. You know, like, nobody does that. That's not a popular thing to do.
Yeah.
But hopefully we change and grow.
Yeah, so the New Year's, you're striking an important theme you know, it's a time of reflection that we can look back and see what went well, see what didn't go well,
mm-hmm.
see where we could do better.
Yeah.
And that is valuable. If we talk about it honestly, genuinely, then even though the world's not interested in going to that, you know, we just often want to talk about what's right. We can admit where we failed and say we're going to change course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
and the more that we just lace that in this idea of like, well, this is what Jesus says, you're off the road, come back on. And when you're off the road, you veer off, you come back on. And it's just that constant state of grace.
Yeah.
And so that's what we try to do here.
Well, let me ask you to reflect on these topics. I'll just throw these out here, see what mm-hmm. you think. Top Christian headlines. So we have a news source, Christian headlines.
Okay.
And I was in preparation for coming here today, wanted to see what they thought was mm-hmm. the most important stories of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
First, Israel-Hamas war. Embedded in that, so there was all these stories. Of course, you know, looking back on 2023, Israel was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been this debate
mm-hmm.
about what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So looking back on 2023, how's that going to affect us in 2024, do you think?
Yeah. How is it a news story that the Middle East is in conflict? Like, it's always there. It's just like the newest thing, right? So as a Christian, what is our response to that? And, you know, there's a lot of disagreement on it within the Christian community, even how we view Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see people think very differently upon their theologies of that. But where I think we can all agree is that where there is suffering, where there is war, there is the opportunity to show compassion. That should just be universal Christian ground level stuff.
Yeah.
And while the politics of that can cause people a lot of anxiety, like, hey, like, there are hurting people out there. This is our job to show compassion.
So what's political is that there's these main viewpoints that are out there. There's been a lot of talk about anti-Semitism
mm-hmm.
on U.S. campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the other side of that is Palestine, the Palestinian mm-hmm. two-state solution,
yeah.
and how there is, how should we say it? There's a push to say that the Palestinians have been oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of these, you know, in these releases we had in Pennsylvania, which mm-hmm. we're based in Pennsylvania, even though we're in New York, Ohio, and West Virginia, we're mm-hmm. me and you are from Western PA.
Yeah.
University of Pennsylvania is that the president there has resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, the president of Harvard University resigned.
Mm-hmm.
All over, they were called to Congress to talk about anti-Semitism on their campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to overgeneralize, but it was sort of uplifting free speech,
mm-hmm.
saying that this is important. And then there was a backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is all part of the polarization of this topic, or the politics, you know, how it becomes political.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but as Christians, you know, what do we think about this? And I also think about, you know, how students in general are affected. You know, so our 20s to 30s,
mm-hmm.
you know, what are they dealing with on campus about this, yeah. realistically?
So at the heart of this, like, it, to be honest, I think that what's called neuroticism is really growing in America. And, you know, that's one of the core personality traits. So you get this like argument about like, well, is a personality thing, is it cultural or is it like a genetic thing? And the answer to that is always both in some way, shape or form. But we are very, very concerned about controlling our environment. And there's this functional aspect of saying, I will be okay when the environment around me is okay. If that's the case, you will never achieve any type of mental health. Somebody said something we disagree with. What do we do? Take them out. Game down. Cancel. Done. Gone. You know, like that's our response to something. Yeah. Somebody said something that we disagree with. Let's have a conversation. And let's like be respectful about that. And for that matter, like we need to have free speech. And if you look at the higher education, like free speech is like not a thing on campuses. And it's been like, I guess I'm in, you know, I'm online and at Liberty, which is like not representative of the major campuses out there in terms of their philosophy and things that they hold to and being very.
So you're a doctoral student at Liberty University.
Yeah,
and it's not representative of the regular university setting.
Yeah, there are things that are going on there. And so let's just take a moment and grieve that terrible bowl game for any Liberty fans out there. It was atrocious. We were very proud of the undefeated season before that, but you know,
I wasn't watching. I have to admit, like, I know that Liberty University was doing well. I mean, they have a really great
undefeated season, like wonderful season, and got to the bowl game. I don't know what the final score was because I couldn't bear to even check my phone to see what the score was anymore. I played college football and for 4 years and I have 4 college football wins. I know what it's like to get pounded and my heart goes out for Liberty during that bowl game.
Yeah.
It was hard to digest, but they had a great season. Maybe what we're talking about, you know, let's be thankful for 13-0 and forget about the one loss, before that. But, back to the college campus part for my little tangent there. Sure. You know, like free speech on the college campus is huge. Even 20 years ago when I was, you know, at not Geneva, but my undergraduate, it was at a different college. And it was like, I don't think that's right. You know, like it's a very intimidating thing to say something against the crowd or against the professor. And that was a hard thing to do 20 years ago, let alone now where they're just like, well, we'll kick you out. You know, if you don't agree with that ideology and, you know, whether or not that's a mass thing that's going on or whether or not it's something that's infrequent, the stories are out there. And I think that that's a difficult thing to say like, oh, I'm learning. But now the president of my college says this, and let's be honest, if the president of the college says something that's to one bend or the other politically, there's more fear of consequences right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see if we could bring up that article. I don't know if you Googled the moral decline of elite universities, because it talks about this issue with the testifying presidents.
You want me to Google that?
Yeah, see if we can get that up there. I don't know if it'll come up now. It's been a while since we've gathered these for the new year, but this article says, you know, in the spring of 1994, the top executives of seven largest tobacco companies testified. There it is right there. The Atlantic. You know, so I took a snippet of this, and it reads, in 1994, the seven largest tobacco companies testified under oath before Congress that nicotine is not addictive. Mm-hmm. Nearly 30 years later, Americans remember their laughable claims, their callous indifference, their loyally inability to speak plainly, and the general sense that they did not regard themselves as part of a shared American community. Those pampered executives behaving with such Olympian detachment put the pejorative of big in big tobacco. And so last week, something similar happened. 30 years from now, Americans will likely recall a witness table of presidents representing not top corporations in a single sector, but the nation's most powerful educational institutions, refusing to speak plainly, defiantly rejecting any sense that they are part of a we, and exhibiting smug, moralistic certainty even as they embraced bizarrely immoral positions about anti-Semitism and genocide. So there's these protests going on campus, and they're questioned about it. And they, you know, seemed unconcerned about it not taking a stand. And so since this article, two of the three or four professors who were up there are now gone. You know, but it sort of highlights this absurdity of, you know, it's wrong, you know, regardless of where you stand on this debate or this issue, to stand against a race of people. You know, they're Israelis, and to say that they're wrong just because of who they are.
Right.
You know, and so you bring up the fact that if you're a student on one of these campuses, you're feeling pretty alone right now.
Right.
If you speak up.
Yeah.
And even like within conservative circles, to take, you know, the position of the minority, it gets pretty tough. But in this type of situation, what the Atlantic is saying, at least, is that it's pretty obvious that this position that these people are taking, these very powerful people,
right,
it's absurd.
Right.
And the students can see it.
Yes. Yeah. And God, I mean, that opens up so many questions. So like university, right? Uni is the universal, like supposed to bring in every thought and every position and teaching critical thinking skills and allowing students to come to their own conclusions. Because if we actually teach kids how to critically think, they actually, the majority of them will probably find what correlates to what is best for society and also what is true. But now we can't even use that word true, right? 2 + 2 = 5. Oh yeah, 2 + 2 = you know, you see people on the internet arguing for, yes, it is absolutely completely acceptable that if somebody says 2 + 2 = 5, you cannot tell them they're wrong. That's insane. And so you look at what goes on, in just the idea of relativism and the idea that, well, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth and they don't have to agree. Some of that thinking goes along, can be helpful when we look at cultural norms. Your cultural norm doesn't have to be my cultural norm. What goes on in this society doesn't have to match in this society. But in the end, table salt is table salt.
Yeah.
You know, NaCl, like it's just, it is what it is. And so that there is time to understand the tools that we use in understanding societal norms and sociology and psychology. And there's a time for those tools. But I think they're being applied at the institutional level. Like the dad from My Big Fat Greek Wedding was using Windex. And if you're not familiar with that, you look at me like you don't. Like Windex cured everything. You know, you have a wart in your arm, he's sitting there with like his elbow in Windex. And some of these tools at the level of university are being applied so broadly that if you're saying like, no, I think there are things like absolute definitions of stuff, canceled, done, get off this campus.
Yeah, it could be quite intense. And that came out in these arguments that at least if you pull for this, at least half the country has a problem with Israel being called the aggressor in the Israel-Hamas situation because Hamas initiated the attack. I mean, that's a fact. There was no provocation, you know, but, you know, that to
but even underneath
say
of
that,
there, you get this like argument of saying like, well, we're going to figure out who was oppressed more and we're going to be on the side of who was oppressed more. And instead of saying like, well, here's a hypothesis. Maybe there's no good guys.
Well, yeah,
you know, I mean, and all of a sudden, like, you know, like, or we have to pick a side socially, instead of looking at the idea of, well, maybe we figure out from a values or morality based situation and have that discussion first, before we get pulled into this political debate.
Yeah, well, I think it's tough. Like with this article, and this is the reason they get fired is, they're going to really strike deep at a traditional value, which is it's never good to attack first. It doesn't matter what bad blood there is. You know, if you launch the first weapon, that's dirty. And that's what was being called out, all these like without prior notice, like 100, you know, or 1,000 missiles were launched into neighborhoods. it was an act of terrorism, mm-hmm. not an act of war. And that being said, you know, people were standing up and saying it was wrong, but mm-hmm. we're in an environment where there's no right and wrong anymore.
And not only that, but if you're looking at somebody and saying you're wrong, that means I'm against you.
Right.
No. Hang on. You did something that was wrong, and I'm actually on your side because I want to help you.
And that's where 2 + 2 = 5 is. You can't zero down on a fact anymore,
right?
Because everything is relative,
right?
And so you saw a backlash because the university heads were getting up and saying this, like you can't single out anybody as wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's this traditional value out there that we've operated off of,
mm-hmm.
and in this case, it went bad for them. Mm-hmm. And it is symbolic of there is people on these campuses, students who are saying to themselves, I don't know what's real anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's parents who are getting kids back, you know, from a lot of universities that they put a lot of money into saying, I don't know my kid anymore. They grew up to an adult mm-hmm. who rejected every single one of the things that we hold most dear.
Yeah.
That we wanted to be a foundation of how they were going to live into their gifting in a career.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then, you know, we talk a lot about this, the purpose of a liberal arts education.
Mm-hmm. Or the purpose of education in general.
You can get at that, you know, but to me, the liberal arts, you know, education is not to become liberal.
Right.
It is that you would know everything, mm-hmm. you know, you study art, you study yeah. science, regardless if you're going into psychology or mm-hmm. English, you have to know about all these topic areas because you have to understand society
mm-hmm.
in order to figure out what's wrong
mm-hmm.
so that you can intervene, you can be a leader in intervening and making society a better place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the object. That's why you go to university, not to get a job.
Right.
Not to earn more money.
Yeah.
You know, my argument, and I think that there's a good foundation in this, that universities were created not to give people better careers, but mm-hmm. to demonstrate to people where they should sacrifice their lives
yeah.
for the betterment of other people.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to do that, it was sort of crazy. You know, it wasn't for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that you could invest there and get a better shot at it.
Yeah.
And so now, like it's completely turned on its head,
mm-hmm.
where you're not allowed to determine.
Mm-hmm.
What's worth a sacrifice or what's wrong or right.
Well, even the statement, well, what are you going to school for? Like, I love the one person I met and they said, to be a better person. And people are like, well, no, that's not what I, no, that's why I'm going to school. That's why I'm going to go to school past high school because I want to be a better person. And really, so I'll be honest. I think almost everything I've written in my PhD program, I turn it in and I'm going, ah, that's going to get it done, but that's not really great. Except for I wrote a philosophy of education philosophy of education paper. It was like 2 pages long and it was awesome.
That's right? Cool.
I wish that. I had it. But that's the basic philosophy of education. Yeah. We don't worry about specifically what I'm looking about teaching future counselors. I'm worried about making people better people.
Yeah.
And as a byproduct, they will become good counselors. And if I lose sight of that macro part of what education is supposed to be, I can't make good counselors.
You know, you know, that's where we have a saying here at CCA, what is the good life for a counselor? And it is a life of service mm-hmm. and sacrifice. I got that from the philosophy of education.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lecture on what the liberal arts university truly is
mm-hmm.
and how it's lost its way. You know, but that, you know, that is all wrapped up in our first top headline of Israel-Hamas war. Mm-hmm. And these university heads, it really points to how selective, in my mind, you have to be if you're going to invest in a university. That's why we like Liberty. We like mm-hmm. Liberty University. A lot of our people are graduates mm-hmm. Or going to be graduates.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just partnered with Liberty University. Mm-hmm. Christian Counseling Associates has. to anybody who comes and works here gets a 15% reduction in their tuition, which we're very proud to offer.
Mm-hmm. And it's much appreciated.
And it's much appreciated. Liberty is a great university. Mm-hmm. And there's some people out there who've never heard of it, even though it's in Lynchburg, Virginia. It has a great mm-hmm. football team, but if mm-hmm. you go on campus, it's one of the best campuses I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great Christian college. Get any degree there that you want, including you can learn how to be a pilot.
I didn't know that.
And so the places that I would endorse, and I would encourage Christian families and families that hold traditional values dear,
mm-hmm.
To really consider what they're investing in when it comes to universities, if they're going to go that route.
Yeah.
So that was a big story.
Yeah,
so,
this is a pre-COVID conversation I had with somebody, and he, basically talked about, hey, we're just in this predicament where we all raise our kids, we try to have them with certain values, and that all gets erased when they go back and go to college.
Yeah.
And you have to be very mindful of it. And I'll be honest, the number one factor of why I picked my undergraduate was that they had a football team that was bad enough that I could play for them. Like that was it.
That was
like,
it
wasn't,
you loved football.
Like, and they needed to have a religious studies department and they needed to have a psychology department, because I knew I wanted to double major in both those things.
Yeah.
And I didn't really look at much else, including the religious studies department. And, I picked this college and I'm just going like, and then they explained it, you're not just going to learn about Christianity, you're going to learn about other religions too. And I'm going, that's fine. I'm cool. That's good to learn about. But then I get to some of the other classes and in the biblical studies part, the professor says there is a plague of biblical literalism going around this country. And I'm like, I'm paying for this. Like, and even afterwards, I was like, what was I doing? I should repent of that. I did. I picked my other colleges based upon both in Geneva and Liberty, based upon the fact that.
So you found out that the university was concerned chiefly about biblical literalists. And maybe we don't want to go too far down this road, because we geek out on it, but that'd be a great example of mm-hmm. of. That is a mistake in my mind, mm-hmm. that you cannot make anymore. Because I don't know. I mean, it's been 10 years since, how long has it been since you've been at university?
We'll call it 20.
20. Okay. It's been 20 years.
Half of my lifetime ago. Not that we like
it, it goes by quick, but the world has changed three times at university since 20 years ago, at least. And, mm-hmm. And again, you're seeing that in this top headline, but, let's move on. I got top 10 here of top Christian headlines. Second is the conversions to Christianity in 2023. Alex, if you could pull up some of these people. So atheist Ayan Hirsi Ali.
Mm-hmm.
The article cited, that there is Muslims in Gaza that were converted. There's a whole list. Tattoo artist Kat Von D,
mm-hmm.
Danica McKellar, Joshua Bassett, Daddy Yankee.
Really?
Yeah, like I'm going to really sound old if I don't know any of these of these people, but here's Kat Von D. Blow up the picture for us if you can. Who is Kat Von D?
She's a tattoo artist. TV personality.
Tom, do you know any of these people?
I know of her. If you want to ask me why is she famous, I have no idea.
An American tattoo artist.
Okay. Didn't The Undertaker convert to?
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker is a Christian.
I thought that was
the Undertaker.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler. Bring up Daddy Yankee. Now, my assumption here of why we're bringing these people up is maybe a commentary on in disagreement of what I brought up at the beginning of the podcast is, here's Daddy Yankee. Do you know this person?
I have no idea who Daddy Yankee is.
He's 46. So, these are just really popular people who were not really, living a kind of life that you would associate with Christianity at all. And there are people standing up in 2023 to say, I'm mm-hmm. going to give my life to Jesus Christ and repent mm-hmm. of all the things that I was doing. And we don't know what that means yet, but, the narrative there is that in the new year, through the power of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. you can become a new person.
Yeah.
And your life can turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the world thought that you were the least likely
yeah.
to experience a revival in your life,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus Christ does that all the time. So like when we think about the Gaza Strip where all this conflict in Israel is happening, mm-hmm. there's Muslims who are giving their life to Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
and proclaiming Christianity in a place where it could get you killed.
Yeah.
And there is this supernatural move of the Holy Spirit to convert mm-hmm. people. God is still calling people to him
yeah.
in 2024. And so those were big stories. We did not expect to see Daddy Yankee give his life to Jesus Christ.
So Tom, it was the Undertaker became a Christian. There's an article here, 2021.
It was
Hulk
okay.
Hogan who got baptized 2023.
Yeah, that's news to me.
The Hulk.
Just want to make sure we have the...
December 21st, breaking news.
Just want to make sure we have the events correct.
I'm a little slow behind the news stories, all right? 21 is current news in my perspective.
WWE legend Hulk Hogan gets baptized, total surrender and dedication to Jesus.
I had no idea that was a thing.
December
21st. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So it brings up a value we have here at CCA, and it's a value for, we consult with churches to build excellent life groups,
mm-hmm.
and I've run a life group or a small group for much of my adult life mm-hmm. in different forms, but we say who is welcome at CCA, mm-hmm. who should be welcome in a life group.
Mm-hmm.
And our qualification is anybody can come here as long as you're willing to tolerate that this is going to be Christian.
Right.
You don't have to be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be in a church. You are welcome to have fellowship with us, connection. If you are willing to understand that this is going to be Christian and you want to get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, somebody connected with these people, or maybe it was just a notion in their heart to say, I've tried everything else out in the world,
mm-hmm.
and deep down inside, I know there's something more,
mm-hmm.
I can feel God in my heart.
Right.
And I want to move this way.
Yeah.
And so, we've had people come here say, I'm not a believer, and then, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've seen that in our mm-hmm. counseling offices. And we've seen people have come here and not believers, and they remain non-believers.
Right.
And that's the freedom you have.
Mm-hmm.
And they just trust us because, we agree, on traditional values.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing these amazing things
mm-hmm.
of, people who've tried out, and they're very popular people. The Hulk, Hulkamania. That was from my childhood. My friend down the street, his name was John. He had this wrestling ring with plastic wrestling figures.
Mm-hmm.
And, so you had the Hulk, you had Randy Savage, mm-hmm. and you'd make him wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
I can't believe.
Punchbots? Did you do the Punchbots?
Punchbots are a little bit before. But that's a classic toy too. But yeah. but to see, somebody like the Hulk, he had all of the fame, all of mm-hmm. the money, and he's admitted in his life that there is something beyond that, more important.
Right.
And that happened this year.
Yeah.
We have admitted as Christian counselors that God's mission for our life is more important than anything else that we can obtain.
Yeah.
And so Christian Headlines celebrate.
And what that. I really love about that part of that discussion is, what are we lifting up? Because so many times in these discussions, I think Christians, we get overly excited about, like, look, we have a famous person who's a Christian now. They're on our side. We have more social power and we live with this influence. Look at all the thing they're going to do for that platform. But what we were talking about right there was like, this is the basic transformative message of the gospel. Yeah. And that's what gets lifted up, that even these people who, you know, may have been lowly or not thought of highly out of the Christian community, or maybe even society in general, that there is that regenerative work that has been done in them. And that is what the exciting part is, and that we look at these situations and we lift up the gospel through these things. Yeah. Because these things, people are going to mess up. You know, and it's a difficult thing.
To yeah, it's not like that a Yankee is going to be perfect now and all his rap yeah. songs are going to be pleasing to us or yeah. anything yeah. like that.
Right.
You know, you'll find real people in the Christian community, you know, and in life groups. And it's worth, you know, in the new year, if everything has let you down, and the world will eventually let you down, you know, mm-hmm. God will not. You know, God's mission yeah. for your life is worthy.
Yeah.
It's worth it. And that a Yankee thinks so, and so do we.
Yeah.
So, so that was, you know, a lot of people that we didn't expect to see life turnarounds. God mm-hmm. has the power to do that in our lives. And we want people to know that. Okay, number three, the Asbury Revival. Big story in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Tom, what do you think about the Asbury Revival?
Aren't you the resident expert on that? You
know, I definitely am.
I feel like oh, I'm like, what am I going to say about it? No, I mean, obviously, it was great.
Alex, if you could pull up these articles as we talk.
Yeah. You know, anybody time you see people who are just getting excited about Jesus, it's a thing to be excited and praised about. You know. It's just like, hey, there are actually people who say it's okay to not just, you know, to share my faith or to be like, well, this is my own private little thing. And they found space that it was there and was open. When we talked about, you know, is it space to say like, hey, we can say this, that, or the other. And right now it's, you know, institutions like Asbury mm-hmm. and Liberty where there is that safety and we see what's grown there. I think, you know, it's one of the things I'm linking back to what things we've talked about. Like,
yeah, so here's this, if you scroll up, that is the chapel at Asbury mm-hmm. University. And then there's Asbury Seminaries across the street, mm-hmm. which a lot of people, at least in my area, they go to Asbury because it's a reputable Christian college that is theologically conservative. Mm-hmm. This is the University of Liberal Arts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you said I was a resident expert because my daughter is at Asbury and was at Asbury during the revival. So people from all over the world come here and, you know, this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they had to eventually say, nobody else, you need to do it back at your own church.
Yeah.
Stop coming to the campus. And it was, you know, it was a historic outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that was student-led at a university. And I would say this kind of thing happening on a university campus, you know, consider, you know, that you could have your student, you know, your young adult in an environment like this instead of at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you want more?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it goes back to that basic question. What is the purpose of education? Is it to make us better people, better Christians? And to realize too, like, we're paying money for this. You know, do I really want to pay my... And so there's a basic philosophy
well,
here.
Well, Tom, what about the, you know, the people who don't go to college, you know? We have people that
you mean the ones who are financially
yeah, well,
responsible.
We're saying that like the, we're saying like the you know
they don't want to put down $125,000 on
education
on
makes you a better person. You know, I don't want
to. So if you're going to a tech school, I think the same thing
yeah,
fits.
Yeah,
okay. You're just not at a tech school. It's they don't address that I don't know. I've never been to tech school. Maybe they do, and I just don't know about it. Yeah. But I'm just making an assumption there that may be incorrect. But, you know, like, what is the purpose of your job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and from a Christian perspective, the purpose of a job, of any type of thing that we do, is to glorify God. And you can do that as an electrician. You can do that as an engineer. You can do that as a counselor. You can do that as a stay-at-home parent. Yeah. But when we look at what is incompatible and really where we set so many of our children up to fail by going to college is that they're not equipped spiritually. And there's this idea, and even within, what do you call public schools? I'm trying to say, like,
High school, traditional K through 12.
Okay. Yeah. Even through K through 12, you know, this whole idea of like, well, I'm going to send my kid in there and they're going to, you know, they're going to set that teacher straight. That usually doesn't happen.
They're going to be the light in the darkness.
Yes, exactly. They will be the salt of the earth.
We're going to transform it.
Which if you look at statistics, anywhere between 70% to 88% of the children of evangelicals completely abandon their faith by the end of their freshman year.
Yeah.
70% to 88%.
Well, this is the thing that I think is important in the Asbury revival story is, you know, the world apart that you see, but then it is starting to enter in to say, this isn't even worth it in most senses. You know, we could go into the trades and make a bigger impact in society than these people here. You know, mm-hmm. I think of the carpenters and the masons, the bricklayers, you know, who are going to go out into society. And I think of the neighborhoods around Westmoreland County in Pennsylvania in the mm-hmm. next 30 years, 90% of these communities are going to need rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a crew of carpenters who can pound out houses reliably,
mm-hmm.
that if somebody gives you money, that you're faithful, you take that and you give them the product that they mm-hmm. wanted to invest in on time.
Mm-hmm.
You are a very valuable person in this society.
Yeah, I think that one of our criticisms of the universities is the elites have looked down on those types of jobs, even when those types of jobs often, you know, contribute more to society than a person
contributes more.
Yeah,
and this is where I think,
you know,
yeah. I would say this is where I think for us as counselors. So, you know, and you've just graduated. If I ask people, what is your least favorite class of your master's degree program? Career counseling is up there.
Yeah.
Like you're laughing because it's true, right? Like as counselors, we're like, well, what are we doing with career counseling? Well, I just finished the last semester of the career counseling in the PhD program. And I'm like, this is how it needs to be taught everywhere. And all of us said the same thing coming in. We were like, oh, we're going to grin and bear this. But, you know, the professor I had did an absolute great job of it because it pulled in not so much this idea of occupation is the function of it, but where is meaning? Where are values? Where do values and interests come from? And why is this so exciting? And why is it that some people get themselves into it? And why do we see people jumping from job to job to job to job to job? I forget the statistics that maybe you're bringing up later, but like we have the great resignation because nobody finds meaning in their job. Because we were looking for meaning in the wrong place. We weren't thinking, you know, and don't get me wrong. There's some people look at a job. There's this, I counsel in Cranberry, PA. All right. It is a well-to-do area. And when we get to the part of the assessment, I ask, what do they do? They tell me, I always follow up with this question. And I say, you know, well, do you like your job? And there's this weird thing that happens in Cranberry that doesn't happen in Zilly. It's just consistent. They say, well, it lets me live the lifestyle I want to live. And it puts some, they're living
outside of their job.
Yeah. Like my job is a means to an end. And I was originally thinking, oh, well, we got to talk about that because you're going to, but I was after like sitting down with these people, they're like, no, like I like my job. I get meaning out of my job, but my job is not an end in of itself.
Yeah,
so my job is just a means to an end. And they're very happy and obviously very successful. They like their life. They're not coming in because of some other issue or some job-related issue. It's always some tertiary thing. But this perspective of What do we do? What is the purpose of education? What is the purpose of career? Well, I need to make that my everything. Well, yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah. So, you know, what Tom's referring to, you know, to the audience is that a lot of people come here because they hate their jobs.
Yes.
And they just, we had this article that we were, you know, we're doing recruiting here in January. Every counselor out there, come work at CCA.
Yeah.
It's the best place. And that's what our employment said, but it lifted up this statistic that 33% of the people in jobs right now are looking to leave.
Yeah.
And they hate their jobs, they hate their lives.
Yeah.
And people come here to counseling because of that too. Mm-hmm. Counselor training, you know, originally was focused on that, to say that if we can teach people how to connect the passion that's in their heart to their work, that's going to be a big part of their minds being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's turned into this hated subject in counseling. Nobody finds any use in it. And it never really got as much popularity as other things in psychology. Mm-hmm. Even though you look at people's angst, you know, they're in the wrong job. They've invested in the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. They're really struggling primarily because of that.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we get on this?
We were just talking about universities.
Universities.
Oh, yes, universities.
I want to finish a thought because I put the first part of the statistics out there. You know, when you look at what we're paying for in university, and, you know, it's to – so here's the 50-cent word for the day, in loco parente, which means in place of the parent, which is absolutely real in education. They are looking to reparent your kids. But if you want to figure out how to do this, if 70 to 88% of the children of evangelicals – leave their faith by the end of the freshman year. If there was a group that had 95% hold on to the faith of their parents by the end of their senior year, wouldn't we all want to know what that group is? Homeschoolers. Just saying. Yeah. Which is also
what about private Christian school?
I don't know that statistic off the top of my head. What I do know is there is my guess is it would depend upon the Christian school. If you look at it's called the Piers. I can't remember what it's broke out, but it basically measures a Christian worldview. And out of the children of evangelicals, I can't remember the exact statistics, but the children of homeschoolers statistically significantly more than any other group. And in between those were the private Christian schools. But where they measured it, in the public schoolers, it was in the single digits as far as the score they had. Now that scale is a little different. It could go into the negatives at some point in time. Yeah. But when you look at it, the question is, well, because there's a lot of variation, I think, within the private school systems, and some schools, some private Christian schools will just teach, I'll throw a Bible lesson under that and we'll do everything else. And, you know, some of them brag that they have, the teachers, we do this secular program too, and we do the secular program too, and we don't realize what the small things are and really what they lead up to be, that you're not modeling that within homeschooling, unless you want to. I mean, you're free to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But most the children of Christian evangelicals do not model. I'm trying not to use the word, but postmodern secular humanism. That is not modeled in we've chosen to do homeschooling. And by we, I mean, I'm sitting here while my wife is homeschooling. That's one of the jokes is the wife.
So Tom, you homeschool your kids.
We do homeschool our kids. Okay. We originally started out in the public education system, and
you've rejected that.
I rejected it. And just to be honest, when Pennsylvania decides they're going to make medical decisions for my child, I said, no, you are not.
There were very objectionable things.
I think too, like you had this movement that started kind of like probably like 2005. You had this idea that came about that was like, you know, words are now considered weapons. You know, free speech is no longer free. You know, words are considered weapons. Respond in kind. The government needs to respond in kind and shut that down.
Right.
So now the public square, like where we had public school, where you had that educational thing, is now being controlled by people who need to control your language in a country where you're supposed to have free speech.
Let me bring this back and just say, you know, because we're on Asbury University, and just like how these dichotomies are being exploited, like how different things are. It brings me back to one of the topics I taught in psychology at the University of Pittsburgh, there was this parenting section of research. Mm-hmm. And the question was, does parenting really matter? And I was like, what? Like, how could this even? And it was a grouping of research. And if you know, for the public listening to this, there's all the just different groups of research that you identify. Mm-hmm. And you're asking, like, well, why are people even researching this? Well, they were researching to see if, you know, if you're raised by your parents or you're raised by the community, was there any mm-hmm. kind of, like, what was the difference really?
Right.
We could give you to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the research in and of itself was suggestive of, we want to unhinge you
mm-hmm.
from the values of your family and right. give you over, you know, but what they found out, which was the point we could agree on, is one of the most important things that parents do. So all the research agreed, one of the most important things is they can choose their environments. And therefore, they choose the influences which will mold them more significantly. You know, and
by they mean who's when they
parents. The parents, parents choose. Okay. You know, so and one of the things that you have to realize that you know the difference between Asbury and Harvard most of the time is you know what the parents are going to support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's say there's even no financial support, that they emotionally support it.
Yeah.
Is going to be the determinant factor. And we're still not at the place, but we're beginning to ask the question, you know, what if I'm, because people would be like, you can write your own ticket if you go to Harvard. And mm-hmm. it's not that way anymore. These mm-hmm. people exiting Harvard, they're not doing as much. Mm-hmm. As a good carpenter,
right? maybe like,
and not earning as much, you know. Yeah. There was a guy, you know, who I've worked with people, you know, from Yale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Harvard grads.
Yeah,
and it's just not true.
Yeah,
you know, that this is going to give it to you, and some people are beginning to say, you know what, Asbury could be the next Harvard if we invest there and we do our best there. You know, and
in
it
what
just,
way? Like, why?
Well,
I'm like, oh no, why, let's not make Asbury Harvard.
Well, Harvard was a place where the nation's leaders would go, and the most prominent of families would send their children to become the next generation of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it just depends on what the parents are going to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they decide is a good investment.
Mm-hmm.
And that research was saying that's one of the things that we know is going to happen. Is mm-hmm. if you know the parents will place their children in environments, mm-hmm. and they get to choose.
Yeah,
you know, and so there's a difference now. You know, if you place your kid in K-12 or you homeschool,
mm-hmm.
there's a difference if you tell them to go to Harvard or you tell them to go to Asbury.
Right.
You know, and you know, you have resources that allow that to happen. And anybody right. who says that that's not a determinative factor, that, you know, psychology will just disagree with you. So anyway, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on in that in 2023.
But what's the purpose of parenting? What's the purpose of education? All goes back to that. Yeah. And it's the idea that, you remember when I said like neuroticism is at an all-time high in this country? I don't have any data to back that up. Because, well, we have to make sure that our kids can manipulate the environment around them to maximize those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we're seeing that doesn't really make for a good life.
Yeah.
Christian Counseling Associates is ready to serve you, providing a wide range of counseling services. Christian counseling is accessible to everyone. We serve both Christians who want their faith integrated into the counseling process or those holding any beliefs or attitudes toward spirituality. With many years of counseling experience, our counselors are professional, licensed, highly trained, and rooted in their commitment to their church and communities. CCA is able to provide a full range of clinical counseling services. For more information, visit our website at www.ccawpa.com.
Jesus Revolution Movie. What's the big deal? And I don't know. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can. I'm just going to go right down the line so you can anticipate. Okay. Jesus Revolution Movie did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It is about Calvary Chapel. We have a Calvary Chapel here in Greensburg.
Okay.
Yeah. My daughter's fiance is from Calvary Chapel. And
yeah.
That's my part of the story. I don't know.
No, great movie. Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer.
So I have not seen the movie, but just from the commentary. Yeah, okay. So now I have to comment.
Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix.
Get this movie on Netflix, folks. It was the biggest Christian movie of 2023. Both Tom and Alex have not seen it.
But
Gary, did you see this movie?
What did it get on? What did it get on IMDb? Do we know?
All right, guys. If you're watching this podcast and you didn't see this movie,
what's the rating say down there?
It's rated PG, folks.
No. Here.
Oh, it's 7.1 out of 10.
7.1 out of 10. That's pretty good.
55% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, we use the IMBD rating system it's below 6.
It's not a good
You're taking a big risk.
Yeah. So this was above 6 to 7, it's okay. 7 and above, that's pretty good. So
if you're above 7 on the IMBD, you're guaranteed.
Here's my question.
To have a good movie.
How is this? This is a bigger story than the Jim Caviezel movie, according to that one?
Yeah.
Wasn't there controversy surrounding the people who made the movie?
Yeah, Sound of Freedom, the guy turned out to be Mormon.
Angel Studios has Mormon influence, yeah. So, which is another big thing, because you throw The Chosen into that as well.
And Angel Studios has some baggage.
Yes.
Yeah, because of
now
the...
Now we're really starting to geek out into the Christian community.
Now I'm done. City. I don't know anything more than that. Like, that's the end of my commentary.
Because of Utah, right? Because of the...
But Christian Headlines chose to keep it off the top 10.
Hey,
listen, we love Jim Caviezel. He'll be our hero for The Passion. Great movie. To this day.
Person of Interest. I liked Person of Interest. That was one of his other projects.
The show.
He's a good actor.
Yeah, the show, the TV show. It came out when my wife and I were first married, and we would sit down, and we really did not have a lot of agreement on what we would watch.
Okay.
Her taste in TV are very different than mine. But
what's your taste in TV?
We agreed on Action Figure Jesus. That's the moral of the story, and that's what I referred to Jim Caviezel while we played Person of Interest. Action Figure Jesus.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to lump these. I'm just going to go 6 through 10 because now we're in a real lightning round. But
we don't
have to
do
6
all
through 10 was, and we won't, you had the U.S. border crisis.
Yes.
Inflation in America was number 7. Number 8 is the AI era. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. Number 9 is the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
And Movie Guide says, don't take your daughter to this movie.
Why?
Mm-hmm. That'll be a whole podcast.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard very mixed reviews.
Who thought it would be more controversial than Oppenheimer?
Well, and number 10 is Taylor Swift.
I know.
Times 2023 person of the year, if anybody cares about time anymore.
I do not.
She's the person of the year, but the subtext of this, and this is how we'll come back to AI.
Okay.
is
I have no idea this connection point. But
despite the Time Magazine recognition as person of the year, Taylor Swift was not actually number 1 in 2023. She was number 12. Yes. Okay. There's a lot of people out here unhappy with me saying that Taylor Swift is number 12, but at least according to searches on Wikipedia, Taylor had 19.4 million searches. The Cricket World Cup at number 3 had 38.2 million searches. And the number 1 spot for Wikipedia searches in 2023 was, drumroll,
AI.
ChatGPT with 50 million searches.
Mm-hmm.
AI. So AI, the AI era, hits in 2023. I mean, that's brand new. And Tom, how do you feel about AI? Is it going to improve society? Is it evil? Is it what's going on?
You know, like it.
You're using AI to write your papers.
I am not.
Liberty, don't listen to Tom.
I'm not that
hot
tech of a redneck yet. No, I know it's been much discussed. Obviously, in the particular, I'm in the counselor education and supervision program, so they're talking about like how we're going to notice when these people are using AI to write their programs. I've had a couple discussions with people. Like, it's probably going to make research, like sorting it out and giving you meaningful results. Because when I type in like 3 things into Google Scholar and I get 6 million results, maybe I'll get a better result out of that. But it's a tool. I mean, it's the internet. What do we think about YouTube? Right? YouTube has done great things for Christianity, and it also has done terrible things for Christianity.
So you're neutral, really?
It's going to be a tool. It matters who has the tool. Not necessarily the tool itself. Now, if it ever becomes Skynet and we're fighting Terminator bots Skynet. And stuff like that, you know, like that'll
watch
be
the Terminator. But, you'll find out.
You know, I mean, it is an interesting thing, and I think it's a good question. You know, we look at so many things that we used to call paranoid of, you know, your TV's listening to you. And you're like, you have an anxiety disorder. We're going to talk about your paranoia. Now you're like, oh, no, that's happening. You know, and how many times we've worried about these things. So I think there is great cause for concern about how big it could get.
Yeah. Well, let me sort of strike the debate here. And this will lead me to my last topic, you know, we'll wrap up here in a little bit. But they're saying that ChatGPT knows more about the Bible than 90% of Christians.
False.
And if you quit.
Well, okay. It depends how you do that.
And you'll argue about that, but you know, when it comes to, you know, what is found in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you know, even theological concepts, the ChatGPT will get closer than many of the churchgoers. Now here's my point is, you know, I don't know, I'm not going to agree whether that's right or wrong, you know, but it does highlight a vulnerability, you know, of all the things mm-hmm. that we're talking about, you know. In 2024, what would a new start look like? Well, that would mm-hmm. be the pursuit of Jesus Christ in our lives.
Right.
You know, the dedication to follow that leading in our life, the Holy Spirit's leading,
mm-hmm.
instead of our own desires. And, you know, for that to consume our minds and our hearts.
Yeah.
And what this debate is saying is that many people are not succeeding at that.
Yeah.
And so they have to go ask Google.
So I'm showing this article saying that the new ChatGPT that's coming out is showing signs of human reasoning. So it could potentially...
It's a better human.
So it could potentially become Skynet. Well, I guess only time will tell.
So instead of commenting on things that I have no idea how to comment on because I'm not a software engineer, and I'm lucky that I can even fix the date on my VCR.
Have you used
ChatGPT yet. So. I get it, and I'm like, I'm going to figure this out after I get all the urgent things done in my life, and that never happens.
Okay.
So I have a quick funny story. How much time do we have left?
We got time. As long as you have time.
So yeah, I have time. So... 2020, one of the dumbest things ever came out of my mouth since. Our church was in a bit of transition, and we were looking at the period of time we were going to come back into, and we didn't have a Sunday school teacher. And so the Sunday school superintendent approaches me. We were at a farmer's market, and he said, you know, like, oh, you taught one lesson one time. I think you did a good job. Like, you know, can you like maybe like find somebody to teach it with you or just do like once every once in a while? And the dumbest thing came out of my mouth. I said, I will do it. Until you find my replacement. Stupid. That means that's like a 10-year commitment. I might as well sign the contract, which I shouldn't say that. I should thank the man. Chuck, thank you for teaching Sunday school so I don't flunk out of grad school. Thank you. You get a special mention under my diploma. I'm very thankful for that. But when I'm in a time crunch and I don't have time to get material, I don't have time to put real lessons together, I found YouTube. And YouTube has the algorithm, and it keeps putting people up with, and I was very impressed. It kept putting up these people who are my theological flavor. And like, I'm just scrolling through, and I was very honest. I'm like, so I listened to this YouTube video by, you know, so-and-so. And, you know, like, I was just going to tell you about the thoughts I had and, you know, pulling scripture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this thought process of, I don't have time. I don't have whatever. I don't have the resources. You ran out of that excuse, people. Like it is right here in ChatGPT, and I don't know anything about it, obviously, but it is going to put information on your doorstep. What ChatGPT does not have, and where we don't trust it, is ChatGPT knows nothing of the real Holy Spirit. It can probably give you a definition of it, and it lacks that discernment. So that's where I'm going, like, oh, ChatGPT, good thing. Tons of information right there, but can we discern, you know?
There was a story about a pastor who was writing his sermons on ChatGPT.
Just one?
all of them.
Yeah, all of them. Yeah.
And preaching them. So yeah, even that is in play, but I would agree with what you're saying, of course, you know. And, this last headline, and I would go to our website that I... I wanna just highlight what's happening new at CCA. And Gary, do you know if that foundation tab now goes to our new foundation site?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, good. So the last story that I had for 2023 is the loneliness epidemic. Mm. You know, I just collect these things, and you know, this story is going through polling that says 2023, the year of the loneliness epidemic. And mm-hmm. that there was this looming threat of loneliness crisis beginning to surface long before this year. Mm-hmm. And it took center stage, that a majority of people basically are rating themselves, especially between the ages of 15 and 24, as being mm-hmm. you know, feeling totally alone, the most lonely that they've ever been mm-hmm. in 2023. And, you know, so these kind of things are just indicators that things are off track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's just a lot of people out there. Mm-hmm. Our hope for you at the beginning of the new year is that, you know, this is going to be a time where you really look back on things like we just did.
Yeah.
Look at the most important things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Assess how things are going.
Mm-hmm.
And know that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is no one else out there, you can get in contact with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying now it takes like 3 weeks to 4 weeks to get a counseling appointment. And you can't find anybody.
Mm-hmm.
In most of our offices, we have somebody who's available this week.
Mm-hmm.
For you to get in contact mm-hmm. with. And we are proud to announce our new feature. You can schedule on our website, and making an appointment now is easier than ever. You can just go to this button, and you can go right into the schedule of a counselor on staff. You can see their bio. You can see what they have available. You can schedule an appointment with them. And you can do that in the middle of the night or, you know, before we open in the morning, and you can get an appointment this week.
Wow.
It is super easy.
And do you have ChatGPT do that?
ChatGPT is not involved. But we in 2023 worked scores of hours to get this thing set up for you. And folks, I'm telling you, it's slick. It is nifty. It is quick, and you can get the appointment that you need just on our front page. And so we're super excited to say, you know, please use our online appointment portal. It's easy, and it saves time. Now, of course, you can still talk to one of our clinical consultants, but this is going to do the same job, and you're going to get right to the counselor. A lot of times there's phone tag, or, you know, we're busy during the day, or people just want to get in there quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people available in the new year. So, that's new in 2024.
Yeah.
Now the second thing is the foundation, and, Alex, hit that foundation tab up to the top, top right there. And, here is the new Foundation for Christian Counseling website. Mm-hmm. In January 1st of 2024, the Foundation for Christian Counseling, which is our charitable arm mm-hmm. of the CCA organization. So it's a 501c3, you know, you can donate to our mission, tax deductible. The foundation funds counseling grants for people who can't afford counseling for whatever reason. Have more accessible counseling. But we merged also with the Concepts of Truth as of January 1st. So hit the helpline button there, and it'll show you that we now taking on the Concepts of Truth mission, which is a life-affirming crisis helpline. We'll work nationwide with pregnancy centers and groups that provide abortion recovery. And if you scroll down just a little bit, you see the operator there. That is a 24/7 crisis helpline for anybody who is uncertain about their pregnancy, and they want to talk to somebody. We are going to give life-affirming guidance. And for those who've experienced abortion and now realize that it wasn't a solution, they made a mistake, and that has been, you know, damaging to them. We want to minister to you. We want to help you. And there's people there, you know, for you that are going to connect you with help to recover from that experience. So that's the work of the helpline. And if you scroll up, we have resources that are life affirming resources that'll mm-hmm. teach and help people to live into family. Just go to the next page there. Next one over. Go to our services. Are you okay there?
I said go to the next one over.
You can learn more about this, and finally, Concepts of Truth International. We'll go into the hardest hit areas that need these life-affirming resources to protect life that's most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so we're a pro-life or pro-affirming charitable organization through the Concepts of Truth that will help save lives. The founder of that Concepts of Truth, Emily Lace, has joined forces with the Foundation for Christian Counseling, and that is new this year, and it's a new website, we're real excited about it. Mm-hmm. So those are our two things this year. Making an appointment at Christian Counseling Associates is easier than ever, and we're here for you. You don't have to be alone, and if you want to get involved in a really great mission to reach out to people, mm-hmm. Check out our website at the Foundation. So there you go, folks. We're ready to head into 2024. Mm-hmm. I hope that you're ready with us for whoever's listening or watching. And Tom, if you could, would you say a blessing for our people out there and we'll end here today?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity and the technology that you've given us to come and to show what a journey of seeking after you looks like. And that, Lord, we know that not everything we do is perfect, but that you would bless the people who would be listening to this, that they would find hope and healing and in a direction towards you in whatever capacity they can, even if it has nothing to do with CCA. I just ask for wisdom and guidance for all of us as we close out this podcast and go about our regular lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope you have a great 2024.
Yep. Yeah.